Hello, everyone. I'm T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and this is Pathlight, and we're so glad to have you tuned in to today's broadcast, and hope you'll make plans, to spend the next 30 minutes or so with us in Bible study, fellowship, special music coming your way in a moment, and a message from the Word of God today. Again, please stay with us if you possibly can. We're going to be talking today on the subject of a devilish deal maker. Do you think Satan tries to make deals with people today? You know, the scripture kind of portrays him as somewhat of a wheeler dealer, although he's got very little to offer. But nevertheless, we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. Hope you'll stay tuned for the entire message, if you will. Right now, though, just before today's message, I've got music by the Inspirations. Is called I've Not Forgotten.
I have not forgotten God's only begotten and the price that he paid for my sin. I must not forget, with joy not regret, he died on the cross for all men. Lord, I have not forgotten. Jesus, only begotten. I was lost without hope.
Lost without hope.
When the Lord saved my soul.
I remember that hour, by his saving power, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten.
He was bruised and afflicted, as the prophets predicted, despised and rejected of men. But in his agony, there was ransom for me. His blood bought me joy without end.
I remember that hour, by his saving power, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. I'm washed in the blood, his crimson flood, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten.
Today we're going to be speaking on the subject of a devilish deal maker. A devilish deal maker. I hope you'll stay tuned for today's message. What do you think Lucifer promised the angels that fell? The Bible says a third of the angels in heaven sided with Lucifer when he attempted to rebel against God, and I guess I'm just asking, what did he offer them? What enticed them? Obviously, many listened. What did he promise? There's a lot of powerful and famous people that did not get to where they are today without some powerful help. In making that statement, I'm not just referring to help from wealthy or influential friends and families. And for this message, I'm not specifically referring to God. I'm referring to the devil. The first thing I'd like to do is to remind you that God is no respecter of persons. However, he does have the power to make you rich or make you famous or make you powerful if it best serves the interests of the kingdom. We can read of the life of King Solomon and see this principle in action where the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, "Behold, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." The Word of God also teaches us that the Lord sets up kings and authorities according to his will. Daniel 2:21 says, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Sometimes the Lord blesses us in this regard because we ask him to. An example of Jabez comes to mind in 1 Chronicles 4:10, and Jabez called upon the Lord God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. The Bible says this man asked for a blessing and God gave it to him. Likewise, I believe there are occasions when, for the benefit of the kingdom, God may promote a man without a specific request on his part. I don't see in the scripture where David ever asked to become king. However, in my opinion, most of the powerful people in today's world did not get their power directly from the Lord. They received it from another source, because the power they have seems to be a power for wickedness and an ability to do evil. Now, in the future, we know the devil is going to empower the Antichrist and the false prophet. We know that, but what about now? Is it possible for men today to strike a deal with the devil for some form of earthly power or promotion? Now, the Bible does depict the devil as a deal maker. In the book of Job, for an example, Satan proposes a kind of a wager with God. Later, the devil attempts to make a deal with Jesus. If you remember, at the end of the 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, after showing Jesus, it says in Matthew 4:9, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, Satan offers them all to Jesus if the Lord would simply bow down and worship him. Of course, Jesus immediately sends Satan away with a rebuke. But what if that same offer was made to someone else? Satan is the god of this world, so he has the authority to make such an offer, I suppose. Perhaps it's the same offer he will one day make to the Antichrist. But what if he's offered, shall we say, smaller deals with others? Maybe not offering them the world and the glory of all the nations, but maybe offered them something smaller. Maybe a nation, or maybe a part of a nation, or maybe a big seat of power and authority. Now, I'm not suggesting that Satan has personally appeared to our leaders in politics and banking and entertainment or business and offered them such a deal. I'm not really suggesting that. He would likely be a little bit more subtle than that. But how many backroom meetings has Satan or his emissaries participated in to secure a decision in Congress or in the courts or in business or in entertainment that would accomplish his goals? How many soft whispers has he given indicating that supporting such a measure of evil might be good for one's future, good for one's career, even if it compromises their morals? How many times has Satan said, "This will be good. This is something you need to do"? Now, Satan has no power but such as is allowed by God. We know that. Also, all human beings, whether saved or lost, still have a free will. Moreover, I'm not sure you can find any specific example in the scriptures of a person making a deal directly with the devil. Nevertheless, I submit that some people have attempted to make such a bargain, pledging themselves, or in some fashion at least, to the devil in hopes of receiving some special favors back in return. Whether they knew it was the devil or not, he may have been showing himself as an angel of light. I don't know, but I still wonder how many people must have made such a deal, because we have so many wicked, evil people in power today. Actually, that's the very nature of idolatry, if you stop and think about it. It's the nature of witchcraft that is described in the Bible. When a pagan worshiper dedicates a sacrifice to his gods, he's hoping for something in return. When King Saul, for an example, would visit a witch, he hoped to gain some special knowledge or some special power in return. Of course, most politicians and powerful men have much more sense than to suggest their power came from such a source. But there's one group of people that don't seem to have any qualms about admitting it, and I'm talking right now about musicians. That's one of the reasons modern music concerns me, I'll be honest with you. You see, Satan is a musician himself. He was from his creation. So he would be naturally drawn to influence musicians. According to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse number 13, Satan has quite an array of instruments. It talks about tabrets and pipes, and these things were created into his very being. He was like the praise leader of heaven. He didn't play the music in heaven. He was the music of heaven. Perhaps that's why the devil has always been involved in music. And today, he has many songs on the charts, including some of the Christian charts. The devil knows how to tempt, whether it's with forbidden fruit or with some enticing rhythm or melody. Venetian composer Giuseppe Tartini said he was inspired to write the sonata in G minor, the so-called devil's trill, after Satan, playing a violin, appeared to him in a dream. Tartini used something called tritones, a musical interval that goes across three entire tones. It's called the devil's interval. An example of that would be notes G and A and B, and B and C, for an example, a tritone. These same chords appear in heavy metal music by bands such as Black Sabbath and Slayer. Bob Ezrin, a producer who has worked with Alice Cooper, Kiss, and Deep Purple, said there's something very sexual about the tritone. It apparently was the sound used to call up the beast, by the way. You can hear an example of that in the Simpsons theme song. Do you remember the 1979 hit song, The Devil Went Down to Georgia? It was sung by the Charlie Daniels Band. They made it somewhat popular. It's based on the legend of a fellow by the name of Robert Johnson, a Mississippi-born musician who supposedly agreed to give his soul to the devil if he would make him a great musician. According to the legend, Johnson was transformed from an inferior musician to one of the greatest guitarists of all time. And the myth says that that happened pretty much overnight. That all of a sudden he shows up and he can do things with a guitar that no one had ever heard anyone do before. And certainly not Robert Johnson. He became one of the greatest guitarists of all time. Tragically, he died at the age of 27. Some say he was murdered, but it was under mysterious circumstances, maybe we should say. Some have stated that back in early December of 1960, John Lennon of the Beatles was offered the opportunity to become more successful than Elvis. At that time, the band was anything but successful and was even considering disbanding. All that suddenly changed in late December of 1960 when the group began having a level of success that they had not experienced before. They were somewhat mystified because singing the same songs, singing them and playing them the same way, suddenly produced a profound impact upon their audience. They didn't understand it. John Lennon told Coleman Ray, quote, "I've sold my soul to the devil." The press officer for the Beatles, a fellow by the name of Derek Taylor, said, and I'm quoting, he says, "I am Antichrist." In other words, he's not saying he's the Antichrist. He's saying he was against Christ. He says, "I am Antichrist as well. But they," referring to the Beatles, "they are so Antichrist, they shock me, which is not an easy thing." That quote appeared in the Saturday Evening Post on August 8, 1964. Lennon also said, "When real music comes to me, it has nothing to do with me because I'm just a channel. It's given to me and I transcribe it like a channel." He went on to say, "But my joy, it's when you're like possessed. like a medium. I'll be sitting around and it will come in the middle of the night or at a time when you don't want it to. That's the exciting part. I don't know who wrote it. I'm just sitting here and the whole song comes out. So you're like driven and you find yourself over a piano or a guitar because it's been given to you or whatever it is you tune into. Perhaps just as the Bible and the Psalms, which many of those, as you know, were songs, was inspired by God, we believe that. Maybe the devil has his own form of inspiration, if you want to call it that, and he picks the group of people that he is most comfortable with because he himself is a musician. Now look, I'm not painting with a broad brush here. Certainly I'm not saying music is bad because there's a lot of good music, nor am I even alluding here that anyone was specifically empowered by the devil. I don't know. I'm just telling you what they said, and it certainly is suspicious. Of course, there are others. Little Richard declared his career was, quote, directed and commanded by the power of darkness. Of course, we all know the tragic story of Charles Manson and his crew. Manson was greatly influenced by music and even released his own record. Devil worshiper Aleister Crowley was called the wickedest man on the planet. Of course, Crowley, along with Karl Marx, appeared as two of the faces on the cover of the Beatles' 1967 Sgt. Pepper album. That same year, the Rolling Stones released an album called Their Satanic Majesty's Request. In 1969, they released a song called Sympathy, not Symphony, but Sympathy for the Devil. David Bowie said in 1976, rock has always been the devil's music. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel we're only heralding something even darker than ourselves. Ozzy Osbourne said this, I was convinced I truly was possessed by the devil. I remember sitting through The Exorcist a dozen times, saying to myself, yeah, I can relate to that. And their great success has been noticed by Christian rock bands who basically use the same music structure with more wholesome lyrics. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, accepting a trophy at the 1992 MTV Video Music Award, said, first of all, I'm quoting, first of all, we want to thank Satan. Of course, some of these people are probably just saying such things for the shock effect, but there's no doubt these folks despise the message of our Lord. Again, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying all music is bad. I'm not even saying all secular music is bad or even all the oldie rock music is bad. I am not saying that. Please don't misunderstand me. And quite frankly, I enjoy listening to some of it, not all of it. I like some of the oldies. I'll tell you that. I do. But I'm saying I do believe some of it was inspired by Satan. So let me ask you this. What if Satan or one of his demons offered you a deal? He'd give you anything your heart desires, wealth, power, beauty, fame, skill, whatever in this life, in exchange for your allegiance. Again, I want you to say, well, he wouldn't do that. Well, or you may even say he can't do that. He can't do that to a Christian. Well, he did it to the Lord. I would think if he could do it to the Lord, he'd do it to anyone. He came to Jesus and says, I'll give you this and this and this if you will worship me. And here again, he wouldn't necessarily himself appear to anyone, but through his emissaries. Many think these pacts with the devil, so to speak, only exist in literature, but I do believe they're mistaken. I think there are those who, with sometimes full awareness and intentionality, make a pact with the devil, whether it's real or not, and devote their souls to him in order to get something in this life that they don't feel they can get without him. Assuming such a thing is possible, making a deal with the devil wouldn't make any sense, though, of course, for several reasons. Let me point some out very quickly. First off, the Bible reveals Satan to be a liar. His greatest weapon is deception, so why would anyone want to make a deal with him? from Eve's conversation with the serpent to Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees as children of their father, the devil, the father of lies, in John 8:44, the devil is always shown taking what is true and twisting it into something corrupt. And he does that to hurt human beings and certainly to hurt the cause of Christ. Anyone who would attempt to make a deal and think you can out-negotiate the devil, you're a fool. The second thing I'd mention is Satan does not have absolute power. While Satan may have some power as the prince of the power of the air and as the god of this world to manipulate the circumstances of a person's life, the Bible never shows that his power is absolute. Only God has absolute and total power. Also, the Bible always presents the devil's power as bringing pain and destruction and corruption and death along with any fleeting success. The Bible acknowledges the devil may allow you to have success, but it's not going to last. John Lennon's success lasted almost exactly 20 years, from December of 1960 to December of 1980. The pleasures of the devil endure only for a season, according to Hebrews 11:25. Any theoretical pact made with Satan would end in misery. And finally, Satan cannot own human souls. All souls belong to God who created them, according to Ezekiel 8:4. One day, the devil himself is going to be sentenced to the lake of fire as a prisoner himself, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. You know, the astounding thing is, as frightening as what I'm sharing with you today might be, that there might actually be people in politics and entertainment that have unknowingly, in some cases, made a deal with the devil. They did it through his emissaries, and they corrupted their own morals and stands on certain issues to get something. Maybe it was a vote, maybe it was power, maybe it was money, whatever it may have been. As tragic as that is, and as frightening as that may be, in actuality, reality is more frightening than the legend. So what if there are a few people around, maybe even a few hundred people around? What if there's a few thousand people around that have yielded to Satan, hoping to find success? But according to God's word, every human soul is already bound for hell. No deal with the devil has to be struck to ensure that fate. Because of sin, our rebellion against God, we are, the Bible says, Ephesians 2:3, by nature, children of wrath, and we stand condemned already, according to John chapter 3, verse number 18. Without some change of course, our souls are going to end up in hell without ever having to trade them away to Satan. If someone doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't need a deal with the devil. They're already on his side. What they need is some understanding with God. They don't need a deal with the devil. They need a deal with God. We need for him to save our souls, to change our destination, to forgive our sin, to birth us into his family, out of the family of the wicked one. In dealing with the devil, he may want something we have to offer. You may honestly have something to offer the devil. I'll tell you that. You may. Some talent that he might can expand or edify or empower. Maybe you're eloquent of speech, enticing words that you might deliver. The devil might could empower those and use those for his purpose. There may be something you can offer him. Maybe you're handsome, or maybe you're very beautiful as a woman, and the devil can use you to hurt someone. Maybe you're a powerful politician already, and the devil wants to make you more powerful so you can serve his interest. All right? Maybe you do have something to offer the devil, but you have nothing to offer God. God needs nothing from us. There's nothing we can give God to make him greater. And all of our attempts to appease his wrath through works are futile. They're not going to work. But the good news, the gospel, that is that God loves us and has offered us a unilateral bargain of his own. He'll save our souls, give us everything our hearts truly desire for all eternity, in exchange for nothing but our simple childlike faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in this great exchange, Jesus has appeased God's wrath that was upon us, taking our sin and its penalty upon himself, birthing us into God's family. In Christ, God will make us alive when we were dead. He will fill our futile lives on this side of eternity with meaningful work, joyful anticipation, and an abundant life. All simply because we come to Christ. So you can make of this message what you will. You can say, Pastor, I'm just not sure about all this. I'm not sure this is really, really going to, you know, the way things are. I just really don't know about that. That's okay. But I'll say this. In these last days, evil is going to be more pronounced. We can certainly see that. And the devil will seek to recruit and empower helpers to set the stage for the Antichrist. All I am saying is that it looks to me, like he's found some of those helpers that he needs. He's placed them in strategic positions of influence and power everywhere from Hollywood to New York to Washington, D.C. The Bible says, in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith. Listen, giving heed to seducing spirits. That's 1 Timothy 4:1. Giving heed, listening to seduction. What is seduction? Seduction is when someone seduces you to say, I can give you something you want. I can give you something pleasurable. I can give you something you would desire. Giving heed to demonic seduction. Apparently, that's what was used on the angels that sinned in that first sin. That's what was tried on Christ, but it didn't work. Perhaps it's what he's still using today. And perhaps it's working quite well. We're talking today about the devilish deal maker. May I ask you today, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, today needs to be the day that you accept him as your Savior. All you have to do is acknowledge you're a sinner. Hey, we all are. I am, and so are you. Apart from God's grace, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes we sin because we just did. We just wanted to. But all of us are sinners by birth. We were born as part of a sinful race. But Jesus Christ died on the cross that you and I might have life eternal and abundant. He rose victoriously the third day, and he lives right now to receive you if you'll simply come to him. And I pray you will. I pray you will. Until next time, this is T.D. Worthington saying, may God richly bless you is our prayer. May you have a wonderful week as you walk with our Lord.